Welcome to the 20% True Podcast, Season 2, Dubious Creatures, Episode 8, The Hide Behind. I'm Carolyn Rahaman. Elaine walked home under the light of the street lamps, the click of her feet on the sidewalk the loudest noise for blocks. Lights were still on in the apartment building she passed, but no one sat on their balconies or scaled their front steps. She passed dark storefronts, their window displays half hidden in alien shadows, and their colors washed out. She passed a school that took up a whole block, and where in the daylight there was a bright mural of cheery brick red, now there was the black, blocky hulk of a building, like an abandoned warehouse or a worn-out factory. Where in the daylight there was a grassy field with shrieking and laughing and life, now there was an empty expanse between Elaine and shelter. She moved her hands from her coat pockets and wrapped them around herself, tucking chilled hands beneath her armpits and hugging down the knowledge that she was alone in the dark. She hoped she was alone. The wind rustled like the swish of a coat. Twigs snapped like footsteps behind her. Cars drove up and down the street, one over from the one she now walked, and she wondered if it would be worth it to go a block out of her way to be closer to civilization. She wondered why the roar of their engine sounded so much like breathing, like growling. She reminded herself that there was no way logistically that she could have a walking buddy without idling in front of her apartment, calling her boyfriend to come down, ride in the car with her while she parked, and then walk with her the 5 blocks back to the building. She reminded herself that she was a grown woman who didn't need a babysitter to walk the 5 little blocks from her terrible parking spot to her apartment. She reminded herself that the onus of responsibility wasn't on her to not get mugged, but on potential muggers to be decent people and not attack her. She didn't want to live in a world where she couldn't walk the quarter mile to her own home without fear. She calculated how fast she could sprint the last 2 blocks. She played through how she would turn if someone grabbed her shoulder, which hand would punch, how she would knee up into stomachs or stamp on feet. Someone was watching her. She could feel it in her spine. And before all the scenarios of things that could happen started to spin through her mind like a terrible montage of horror, she told herself, "It's the hide behind. It's the hide behind in that tree, stomach sucked in to make itself thin. It's the hide behind that parked SUV, peeking up through the tinted windows. It's the hide behind, dashing from one hiding spot to the next, following, keeping its distance. It was the hide behind. It was creepy, but it wasn't real." 5 minutes later, she unlocked her front door and hurried up the stairs, safe from the hide behind. She laughed at her own silly game, at scaring herself with things that didn't exist. The trip to the zoo was a bit of a bust. It was cold, it was crowded, the safari train wasn't running, the lions were sick, the giraffes were inside, the grizzly bear habitat was under renovation, the hyenas were sleeping, curled up in a corner so you could only see their butts. Even the goats at the petting zoo ate their feed with minimal enthusiasm. Elaine's niece was getting tired of walking, visibly drooping and growing ever more bristly and pink-cheeked. Elaine was getting tired and irritated, too. Her hands were cold and her niece's whining was just the right pitch to make her inner ear ache and her eyelid twitch. It was enough negativity to be contagious. Elaine had the feeling that the moment she let her chipper front fall, for even a second, her niece would sense her weakness and fracture into a million screaming shards of child. She knew that she had to stay patient and kind, because snapping at the kid would set off a lower lip quiver, and then a wail, and then a full-on meltdown, and all the other people, who were sometime having a great time at the zoo, would stare at the scene they made and judge her. And her sister would hear about it and judge her and never let her babysit again, which might not be such a bad thing now that she thought about it. She prayed that this next enclosure would have a rowdy tiger or a dancing polar bear, something to lift both their spirits. Instead, once again, the next enclosure was empty. They stared for a while, searching the tall grass and the bushes, craning their necks to peer into corners, into shadows, looking up into the trees for an animal sleeping, or camouflaged, or just very small. "There's nothing here," the girl whined. Elaine panicked. Her eyes darted around for an idea, but she realized that she was really hunting for an exit. She grabbed onto the first thought that came to her and said, "Sure there is. This is where the hide behind lives." The girl wrinkled her nose. Her hair was coming out of its ponytail and sticking to her neck. "What's a hide behind?" "A hide behind can hide behind anything. It can hide behind rocks. It can hide behind pebbles. It can hide behind gravel. It can hide behind bushes that you can see straight through. It can hide behind trees no wider than a stick because it stands up on its hind legs and sucks in its belly until it's skinny, skinny, skinny." Elaine demonstrated by straightening up and sucking in a breath. Miraculously, the little girl laughed and tried it too. "It hides, and then every time you look away, every time you blink your eyes, it darts forward to hide behind something a little bit closer to you. And a little bit closer, and a little bit closer, until rah!" Elaine pounced, and the girl shrieked, and they tussled together into a tickle pile. They spent a good long while looking for the hide behind, until the girl was sure she could see it. She could see it. It was behind that bush. They high-fived and left the empty exhibit. A noise struck in the night. A pop. A snap. Not the front door, but the creak of the wood floorboards as weight shifted. The crack of walls connected to the floorboards as weight shifted. It woke her with a certainty. There was someone else in the house. It was like a change in pressure when another body filled a space, a prickling of the hair against the back of her neck, as someone stared at her. Someone was staring at her, in the room with her, hovering with a knife, an axe, a gun. Standing on the other side of her boyfriend, who was still sound asleep, peaceful, unaware, his breathing still even and deep, with a little snort at the end. Elaine wondered if the intruder would stab him first, and how that would affect her reaction. Maybe if she feigned sleep, if the intruder would just take her laptop on the desk on the other side of the room and leave them be. She lay still, but not stiff. She breathed even, but not loud. She closed her eyes, but didn't squeeze them. For a long, long time she lay there, and she didn't hear another sound. Maybe there wasn't anyone there. Maybe the sound had been someone moving around in the apartment upstairs. Maybe it had been the house settling, as old houses did. There wasn't anyone there. She couldn't bring herself to turn around, to look over her shoulder and check. She lay tense and half asleep and frozen, unable to check and unable to go back to sleep. It's the hide behind. It's the hide behind peering around the doorframe. It's the hide behind perched on the seat of the desk chair, peeking over the chair back. It's the hide behind without anything else to hide behind, except for her boyfriend's sleeping body, and she would feel the dip of the mattress as it settled itself down next to him, making it a poor hiding spot. The hide behind couldn't come any closer. She sighed, relaxed, moved enough to snuggle deeper into her pillow, and put the noise from her mind. She went to sleep in a room free of intruders. "Oh, look at that cute dog!" Elaine's boyfriend looked up too late from his phone and checked out the passenger window. "Oh, yeah, that's a good dog." He bent back over his phone, scrolling, scrolling. The dog had been out the driver's side. Elaine swallowed. It had been a cute dog with scrappy hair in its eyes, but it also worn a neon purple sweater with a pattern on it that she hadn't seen clearly. She drove for a few minutes and then said, "Oh man, look at that hide behind."
"A what?"
He looked up and blinked. "The hide behind, did you see it?" He at least looked around this time before saying, "Oh yeah, wow."
"You didn't see it."
"What? No, I saw it."
"Hide behind? Wow."
"You didn't see the dog either, but you said you did."
"No, I saw the dog."
"No, you didn't."
"Why do you think I didn't see it?"
"Because you were looking the wrong way."
"Maybe I saw a different dog."
"And you saw a different hide behind?" His facial features changed as he dug in, some hardening of his jawline, something shuddering behind his eyes.
"I guess so."
"No," she said, "you didn't. You can't see a hide behind, they hide."
"Oh, but you saw one."
"No, I didn't. I was seeing if you'd just agree with me."
"You were testing me?"
"Yeah."
"Don't test me.
Don't lie."
"Maybe I saw a hide behind. Did you consider that?"
"You didn't see a hide behind. First of all, the whole point is that you can't see them. They hide. And second of all, they don't exist. So I know you didn't see one."
"You made up an animal to test me?"
"I didn't make it up. Someone else did."
"Who?"
"I don't know. Someone. It's just a thing that I heard somewhere."
There was a long pause while they both stewed. He broke first. "We see a dozen dogs every time we drive anywhere. Do I really have to look at everyone? It's not like we have any deep discussions about the dogs we see."
"Well, it makes me happy to see dogs, and I just wanted to share that with you.
Who complains about being shown too many dogs?"
"God, Elaine, it's so many dogs. Like every 30 seconds, you're pointing at a dog." This one had a cute sweater.
Another silence. "What is a hide behind anyway?"
"In stories, it's an animal that hides behind things to sneak up on you. I think it eats you at the end."
"Not a very original name, is it?" he said.
She shrugged. "It gets the job done."
"Where did you hear about it?"
"I don't know. Just somewhere when I was a kid. I think about it whenever I feel nervous in the dark."
"But you said they don't exist. How can they make you nervous?"
She pressed her lips together. She wasn't sure how to explain it. How if the hide behind was real, it would be more terrifying than any real predators. But since it wasn't real, it was less scary by default. How it both existed and didn't exist at the same time, and both chilled and reassured her at the same time. She couldn't explain the cognitive gymnastics involved in how she could both believe in it with absolute certainty and be positive that there was nothing there. She couldn't explain that there were real monsters out there, and making one up distracted her, gave her courage. She didn't have the words, and wasn't sure it would make sense to someone who didn't fear the dark. She would sound both superstitious and paranoid.
"It's like scary movies," she said. "People enjoy being scared."
That wasn't true at all. She hated being scared.
He smiled to himself.
"Yeah, that makes a lot of sense."
He went back to his phone.
Elaine drove on, imagining there was a hide behind in the back seat.
The 20% True podcast was written and produced by me, Carolyn Rahman. Music was composed by Kamiku. If you like the show, please rate and review on iTunes so new people can find it. Follow the podcast on Facebook at facebook.com/20percenttrue, where you can leave comments and ask questions. Check out my website, 20percenttrue.blogspot.com, for updates, thoughts on writing, and book reviews. Or follow me on Twitter at CarrieAndTheHits.